Last Lord's Day, we began a vitally important study concerning evangelism begins with us, that is, we of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ. And what we studied was the early church's example of getting the gospel spread throughout the world. They didn't have the modern conveniences and modes of transportation that we do today, but they got the job done. Now, something else we studied. What will help us to better appreciate our responsibility as Christians, as members of the Church of Christ, to evangelize the world as we realize the terribleness of sin? And our responsibility is to get the good news to the lost and dying world. And so let's get to it, brethren. But today we want to continue our study of evangelism begins with us by going to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we use the initials PFE to remind us of the most important thing that we could be doing. At this time, we want to invite everyone to join in with us at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. But then as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth in accordance to John 4:24. That would be with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something very important to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we would love to set a time at your convenience to open up God's Word together. Now, something else, if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, we would appreciate hearing from you. So you can write to us, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Also our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, one very important announcement we need to make is our gospel meeting is fast approaching. We're planning the meeting for September the 6th through the 8th, and our scheduled preacher is Brother Tom House from the Plainview Church of Christ in Fulton, Mississippi. And he's also served as a police officer. But he's an outstanding gospel preacher, and he puts it out where the calves can get it as he shucks the corn, preaching the truth, the Word of God. And you will benefit by being here to hear his proclaiming of God's Word in such a fine way. What are the meeting times? Friday night and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., our regular worship service hour, and then a potluck lunch, which you're sure to enjoy. We have some mighty good cooks. I need to brag on them, too. And then following the potluck lunch, closing out the meeting with a 1 p.m. service, and then, of course, we look forward to many reapers gathering the harvest, yes, that will come forth from our gospel meeting. Now, let's get to our study this morning concerning evangelism begins with us. And we'll go to the book of Jonah for our study, as there's much to learn from what happened with Jonah as God told him, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me," Jonah 1:2. You see, as we study together, there are many lessons for us to learn and apply to our lives, again, as we're with the theme, evangelism begins with us. So notice what happened after God commanded Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh, that great city. Well, you see verse 3, you see what happened? Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Now this is in Spain. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So let's learn a lesson from Jonah that we cannot outrun, nor can we hide from God. No, sir. That's not going to work out. You see what happened now in verse 4? But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Well, what do we find now with Jonah in the ship? Well, he was sleeping, while the sailors were frantically trying to save the ship, and they were calling on their false gods, little g, to save their lives. And notice verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, capital G, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. How many of us, here's a lesson, how many of us are indifferent or sleeping in the Lord's church while lost souls are drowning in a sea of sin? Jonah knew that he was the cause of the ship being in danger, and he was willing to be cast overboard to save the others, as we continue on, verses 7 through 12. And they, of course, asked him questions of what is his occupation, where he came from, and who are your people? And of course, he told them he was a Hebrew, and he feared the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. And then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Well, they didn't want to have to do that, but this was the only way they could save their life. The sea was raging, and it ceased from her raging as soon as they threw Jonah overboard. Well, they feared the Lord exceedingly, as we saw there. Yes, verses 15 and 16, you can see very much they were fearing the Lord. And what did they do? They offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Well, here's a lesson for us, and that is, we don't have the miraculous events today. The gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased near the end of the first century when the perfect revelation of God was complete. And so we're still without excuse when we deny the existence of God, as so many of our fellow man are doing around us. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There will be no excuses on the day of judgment. That is a certainty. The world, as you see creation, you see the beauties that are all around us, the smell of beautiful flowers, the birds that are singing, and you just go on and on, the intricacies of just one cell, and on and on. Yes, we could go. So people need to realize, if there's a creation, there must be a creator. Look at Psalm 19, 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech night unto night, showeth knowledge. It's every day for us to see the wonders of God's creation. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So let's appreciate God's creation and submit to God's will, and certainly not be like so many who are just losing their faith altogether. And now the number of atheists in our country is growing. That's something to get our attention, is it not? Well, notice this. God's existence, His divine nature, and His divine will are clearly and perfectly revealed in His all-sufficient, inspired Word, the Holy Bible. Yes, all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. Yes, it's given by inspiration by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, that is, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It's the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. And 2 Peter 1:3, it contains all things unto life and godliness. So only the foolish would deny the existence of God, Psalm 14:1. But let's get back to Jonah. After he was in the whale's belly for 3 days, as God prepared this fish, you'll see that in verse 17 of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. We know it was a whale. Jesus said it was, to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that whale, how long? 3 days and 3 nights. Now, as you read chapter 2, 1 through 9, you'll see how Jonah prayed to God a prayer of repentance. And he was ready to pay what he vowed as he realized, look at verse 9 of chapter 2. Yes, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. What a great lesson that is. Yes. And also we need to keep our vows today. Here's another lesson to apply to us. What about our marriage vows, which were made before God? When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Ecclesiastes 5:4-5. Yes, that's right. And notice Matthew 19:9. People are divorcing for any reason. They just can't get along or whatever. They think that's okay and we can marry again. Wrong. If we stay with the Bible, not opinions, but God's Word, Jesus Himself said in Matthew 19:9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. That's the Lord speaking. That's not my opinion. Let's preach the truth, preachers, on what God says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so there's another lesson. But again, we get back to what Jonah said. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, what about us today? Do we realize one cannot be saved by just being so-called a good person? Some people think that. But the rich young ruler realized, you know, that he had to give up some things. Yes, his riches. And come and follow Christ. Give it to the poor, Jesus said in Matthew 19:16-26. That's a great study about a so-called good person. Only God is really to be called good. We must obey the gospel of Christ, which includes carrying the gospel to a lost and dying world, as we're studying. Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15-16. So we need to realize the importance of being saved by the gospel as we submit to it, accept it as it is. The good news is that we can have salvation, but we must submit to the grace of God and become obedient. Now, notice verse 10 of chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Yes, we can picture in our minds Jonah hitting the ground, running towards Nineveh. But first, he was given a vitally important command from the Lord. So let's notice that. Chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Another really important lesson for us to consider in our study this morning. Bid the preaching that I bid thee. All of us preachers and teachers of God's word in the Lord's church, we're commanded, preachers, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, that's right. That's the preaching that God bids us to preach. Not our opinions and telling a bunch of funny stories. Well, there's all right for some humor in our preaching, but are we leaving out the Word of God? We need to give a book, chapter, and verse for what we're preaching, because to bid the preaching that God bids us, we must preach His Word. And that should be instilled in not only preachers, but teachers as well, in the classes, and even in our private Bible studies. Stay with the Word of God. Now, when Jonah arrived in the large city of Nineveh, he went a day's journey into the city, and then he began preaching the Word of the Lord as he was commanded. Imagine today having only one opportunity for hearing a sermon of doom proclaimed by a preacher who did not want you to be saved. That wouldn't set well, would it? Well, how many of us would respond as did the people of Nineveh, though they were dejected and depressed at this time? When opportunity knocked, they answered God's message despite the uncompassionate preacher Jonah. Well, look at chapter 3. Yes, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on a sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So, yes, he began to preach, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's a sermon of doom. But they responded, even though Jonah didn't want them to. They did. And you see, even the king, he arose from his throne, laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, verse 6. Yes. And God saw their works, verse 10, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. What a lesson here. Regardless of the preacher's attitude, we too must heed God's message. Stay with the Bible. What does the Bible say? And we should be proclaiming from the rooftops, let's get back to the Bible. Our nation is badly needing to do just that, is it not? Well, notice Jonah, instead of being pleased with the results of his preaching, yes, preaching God's word, was exceedingly displeased and very angry, as you go to chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And so, notice, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. How did Jonah know this? His own experience, of course. Therefore now, O Lord, I notice. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Well, that's a lot different than what Paul, the inspired apostle, stated. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. No, Jonah, he wanted his life taken because of the experience of going to Nineveh and seeing these folks repent. And God would save them if they repented. And he understood that. Well, God answered Jonah's prayer, you can see that, with a resounding no, as a father would a pouting child. Notice, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Well, that's like saying, Jonah, does it profit you to be angry? Verse 4 of chapter 4. Here's another lesson. How often do we allow our anger to overtake our better judgment? It does that sometimes, does it not, if we're honest? Now, God gave Jonah an excellent lesson, which applies to all of us in the Lord's church today. As Jonah sat on the hill waiting to see what would become of the city, he was so happy having the gourd provide him with shade and comfort from the intense heat of the sun. This is verses 5 and 6. Yes, God prepared that gourd. You can see that. How it shaded over his head, delivered him from his grief, so he was exceeding glad of that gourd. Well, could it be the case with us that we're so happy and content with conveniences of this life that we have forgotten the value of one soul? Matthew 16:26. What would you give for your soul? What would you exchange it for? What does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? So it's worth more than all the world is the answer. Now, Jonah became angry when he lost his precious gourd. God prepared a worm, you see. Yes, there in verse 7. And there goes that gourd. And Jonah had such pity for the gourd that died from God's prepared worm. Well, there were 120,000 people who were in danger of God's wrath unless they repented, but Jonah cared more about the gourd. Yes. Yes, that's right. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Verse 9, look at that. And then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for that, for the which thou hast not labored. He didn't do anything to get that gourd up there, and neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And shall not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? That's the question, Jonah. You need to answer the Lord. Well, we need to answer as well. Yes, we certainly do. This is a powerful lesson from which we can learn concerning our subject. Evangelism begins with us, we in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ. Yes, we can learn about God's mercy in contrast to man's lack of mercy. And Jonah had that problem. What if God showed us the same mercy that we show the lost? God waits patiently for the lost to obey him. 2 Peter 3:9. Yes. The Lord is not slack in his promise, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not... How long is God going to wait? Well, that's another question, isn't it? But he's waiting patiently for the lost to obey him. And, well, let's ask this. Why was Jonah so set against preaching God's word to the people? the people of Nineveh. We know that Jonah was an Israelite and he would have had an unfavorable view of all Gentiles, yes, but there was something more to it than this. Jonah must have had knowledge about the Assyrians. If you look at their wicked history, you'll find that they were known to be very cruel to their captives, cutting off limbs, flaying the skin, cutting the babies from their mother's womb, and many other torturous acts. Yes, as they would do this to their captives. What are we doing to the innocent babies here in our own country? So many are involved in promoting abortion. It's part of the platform that's going on in one of the political parties today. That's what they're fighting for. Be able to kill innocent babies, shedding innocent blood, which God hates. We don't hate the soul, the people involved. We want to see them obey the gospel and get out of their sins. But we need to hate the sin as God does. But you can see why Jonah was with his attitude, but it didn't justify not doing what God said and preaching to people that are lost in their sins with a positive attitude. In Nahum 3, 1 and 4, you'll want to look at that later. You can see what happened to Nineveh around 100 years after they had repented. They returned back to their old ways of pride and cruelty. But here's the lesson for all of us Christians in the body of Christ as we learn from Jonah. And that is, no matter how unlikable or cruel people may be, God would have all men to come to repentance. He would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. Yes, God wants all men to repent and obey the gospel. But here's an example. If we had, say, an extreme Islamic terrorist who is ready to blow himself up for the purpose of killing innocent women and children in a crowded street, what about his soul worth more than all the world? Yes, we're sickened by the hatred that these terrorists have for Jews and Christians, calling us infidels, deserving death, according to the Quran. But suppose we had an opportunity to preach and to teach the gospel of Christ to a known terrorist. Would we have the attitude of Jonah or obey the Great Commission? That's for all of us to soul search. What would we do? Hopefully, we'd choose to obey God and not be as so many would. Yes, we've studied evangelism begins with us. And what about it? We in the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, are we realizing our responsibility and the urgency that we should see of so many lost in their sins? Brethren, are we like the 10 spies who are afraid, or like Joshua and Caleb who are ready to go up at once? Numbers 13:26-33. Let's be ready to go up at once, and let's do what we need to be doing, evangelizing the world. We stand ready to assist anyone in studying further the gospel of Christ and showing from the scriptures we need to submit and obey his gospel, the gospel of Christ. And we'll be ready to study with you, Father, and we thank you so much for listening today.